This is the Angry GM, and this is Angry Unscreened, a sudden impromptu live chat sort of thing, because somebody just asked me an interesting question in the post-proof read aloud, hanging around and dicking around, and I realized that it would be smart if I actually just started recording, because I'm probably going to say something that some people might want to actually hear. Because I was asked, how do you make debt collection to be an interesting interaction? You have mentioned it as a challenge a couple of times, like in the lumberjack social boss fight. I was just asked that by George, who just listened to me finish doing a proofread aloud and then threw that question at me in the hopes that I would expound. And I don't want this answer to get lost into the void because I am about to expound off the cuff style and probably say some very insightful things. And all of this is just a little bit of stalling and a little bit of warming up and a little bit of establishing the backstory. So now here we go. The question is flawed, as are all such questions that are, how do you make such and this to be an interesting interaction? Okay. Because the real question that is underneath that, that nobody has an answer for, is how do you make anything to be an interesting interaction. And I promise this is not going to be one of those semantical rug pull things where I say, the problem is the word interesting, because interesting is a meaningless, non-actionable word, and you should have better definition, blah, 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 blah. That's not what I'm doing here, okay? I want to make some important observations about social interaction encounters and why everyone struggles with them. Okay. There are two parts to every social interaction encounter. And by social interaction encounter, what I mean is a situation where the players, primarily by interacting with an NPC, must overcome a challenge to get something they want, to achieve an outcome. Let's make it simpler. They must overcome a challenge by socially interacting to achieve an outcome. For example, in this case, they have been asked to go to the person who owes some money and get that person to hand over the money. Okay. And so successful outcome, they get the money. Failed outcome, they walk away without the money. Outcomes in between could be they get a partial payment or a promise, something, you know, they extract something else. But let's not even get into that, because I want to get away from the specifics of that interaction and go to the generalities of what makes any social interaction interesting. And there are two parts to this. Number one, there is the system, the mechanical way in which it is resolved, because this is going to define how the challenge is played like a game. So the question is, when the players approach this person and have this interaction in an attempt to overcome the challenge, gameplay-wise, what do they do and how does the GM determine what they can come out, you know, what the outcome actually is and when the interaction is over and when the challenge has actually been overcome? Okay. A big problem in all of RPG-dom is that nobody has a good answer to that. When you get right down to it, the systems we have in most tabletop role-playing games, not even D&D, this is even in the role-playing games that claim to be really good at social interaction, they mostly have shitty answers, because it's mostly down to the player says a thing, then you roll a die roll and add a personality score, and then you compare it to a difficulty class, and if it succeeds, progress or success. And if it fails, no progress or failure or maybe setback. I don't know. See, and this is already where we run into the problem. Because all you have is this skill. It's like, this is your skill for talking. Here's your talking skill. Okay, I'm talking now. This is all the things I say, blah, 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 blah. Okay, roll a talkity talk check. Check, clatter, 7. Okay, fail. The person says no. Succeed. The person says yes. Or succeed, but I want this to last a while. So then it's succeed. The person says, well, I could pay. Dot, dot, dot. If you maybe made another talkie-talkie check and also succeeded on that one. Okay, so there's no game works, no gameplay cement to build the interaction encounter unless you know how to do that yourself, or you know how to use the very, very anemic tools in the system to build the challenge yourself, or to just run it ad hoc. Okay, the other problem, though, is that, and this is tricky here. And notice, by the way, I'm also skirting around interesting, because this isn't interesting now. This is how you make a good gameplay challenge, and also the second thing that I'm going to mention. We're going to pretend the word interesting didn't even come in, because interesting is a bullshit word, okay? So the real question is, how do you make it good gameplay? How do you make it good gameplay, a good interaction, whatever, fine. Which also is bullshit. Doesn't matter. Okay. So the one thing is, the mechanical gameplay, there's no tools for it. Okay. Here's the other problem, though. Let's do this honestly. Okay. Everybody listening right now, you don't have to say your answer because I won't hear it. And you don't have to type your answer because I won't read it and I don't care. But I just want you to be honest with yourself now and think about this for a minute. If you had to go collect a debt from someone right now, if somebody asked you, hey, as a favor to me, could you call Mary and get her to pay me back the $50 that she owes me, what would you do? What is the strategy? Because what you're going to do is you're going to call Mary and you're going to say something. Like, hey, Mary, yeah, look, I was just talking to Steve, and Steve's having a lot of trouble paying his rent this month, and he really needs back the $50 that you owe him, and he's embarrassed to come and talk to you. Okay. And then Mary's going to say something. Then you're going to say something. Then Mary's going to say something, and you're going to say something, and Mary's going to say something, and you're blah, 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 round and round, 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 round. And the outcome is just going to be whatever it is. Okay. But let's say you actually wanted to succeed. Let's say you actually wanted to do more than just think about, you know, say the next thing, because that's how social interactions get played. I'm just going to say the next thing. Do you know what to do? Do you know how to negotiate? Do you know how to verbally resolve a conflict? Okay, here's part of the problem that most game masters run into is they have no idea how to do the things they're trying to simulate. Do you know how to get someone to pay a debt that they don't want to pay? Because if you don't know how to do it strategically, you sure as hell can't build a game about doing it strategically, which is a problem because not only do you have to play a game about build a game about doing it strategically, you also then have to build a game that is so effectively built that a group of idiot players who also don't know how to do it strategically can sort of accidentally discover the strategy. Like, because you have to lead them to the right things, right? Right? Like, and so you have to be the tutorial and the gameplay, because they don't know any better than you. So how do you make any interaction challenge interesting? Honestly, right now, in this day and age, in the time I have to deliver this answer, the only answer I can give you is, you can't, you're fucked. There's no way. The best you can do is just kind of sit there and say things back and forth, and you say interesting things, and the players say interesting things, and you have them roll dice periodically, and you count the successes, and when they get X successes, you say, fine, the person gives in. And when they have so many failures, the person punches them, or get out of my house, whatever it is, ends the conversation. But then again, we also have trouble with that because it's like, okay, so I ask you now, how do you, I need you to pay the debt back because Steve really needs the money. And Mary says, well, I don't have the money. I don't have the $50 to give him right now. Okay, now what? Like, what's the next move? Like, from a strategic standpoint, from a gameplay standpoint, because the problem is that's a perfectly natural thing for the NPC to say, right? The perfectly natural thing for the NPC to say is, I don't have the money right now. Okay, and you might say that as a GM playing the NPC, you might blurt that out, I don't have the money right now. And here is the problem. You have just closed the entire interaction. Because you gave an answer to which there is no follow-up strategy. It's not even that the strategy isn't obvious. It's that there's nothing that can be done. That's an insolvable problem. I do not have the money to give Steve. Therefore, nothing you can do will get the money out of me. Unless, of course, you suspect I'm lying. Or unless you can come up with a clever, creative, out-of-the-box solution. Like, maybe you could pay Steve back by shoveling his driveway. Or, you know, maybe I could get you to... Or how about this? How about, you know what? I need a cat sitter. I'll pay you $50 if you'll be my cat sitter for a week or some shit like that. You know, the clever, creative, out-of-the-box solution that GMs always want their players to come up with, but that most of the time it's just kind of impossible to pull them out of your ass. So players don't always come up with this shit. And you can't rely on them as the thing that's going to solve the problem. So... now what? Now you've closed off the conversation. What are the players going to say? They're going to sit there and just... because there's no follow-up. Okay? So the most important thing as a GM, because I am going to give an answer to this question, kind of. And I know I'm rambling and I know I'm all over the place. Because the first thing, like I said, you can't rely on the system, not right now. Not until someone writes an actual good system for this. Stay tuned. Okay? That there's no mechanics for it, and there's not even any strategy spelled out in the book, and there's not enough skills, and the skills that exist are stupid skills. I'm sorry, diplomacy, intimidate, and deception are a stupid collection of skills. Those are your three approaches. You can either say, please, crack your knuckles, or lie. Those are your choices. Okay. And as a GM, what you have to do whenever the players say anything that might move the needle is that you have to then fit it into please, lie, or knuckle cracking. I had this out with my players last weekend because I pointed out that intimidation does not have to be you threatening to break someone's face. Intimidation is any attempt to use fear to coerce someone, you know, just, which means even like you might be in danger if you don't give us that was ultimately the solution I proposed to one player because he could not find a way to use his intimidation skill. I pointed out that, you know, they're coming after people. You might be next and we are your only protection. Kind of a thing. That is a form of intimidation. Am I being a little bit broad in my definition? Yes, I am. Does that technically fit intimidation as it's written? No, it does not. But they gave me sucky skills, so I have to use whatever I can come up with to make it work better, right? It's my only option. Biscuit wants to sit with me. You can come and sit. You can come and sit, but I'm being shouty for a few more minutes. Okay, so this is it. The only way you're going to be able to do it is just by playing out the conversation as the conversation plays out, asking the players to fling dice whenever you think they have said something that could move the needle, and then looking at the result and deciding whether it moves the needle and how much, and then coming up with a response. And everything about whether that's interesting or not comes down to how well you respond. And I already pointed out the first thing is that if you respond in a way that closes off the encounter to future responses, then you have ruined the encounter. You always need to leave an opening. And the opening you need to leave should suggest something the players could do next. Okay? That way they can kind of keep the ball rolling. And so in the case of the money, like, you have to shake down somebody for the money they owe. And it's like, look, he really needs the money back. You know, the initial strategy, like, notice, by the way, that if you really start thinking about it, and I could probably do a whole thing on just social interaction strategy, because even if your players don't know how to do it, you should know how to do it. But I did implicitly choose a strategy there. And right off the bat, the strategy I chose was a sympathy play. I called Mary and I didn't say, Mary, you owe Steve $50 and you need to give it back. What I did was I called Mary and said, Steve really needs the $50. He's in trouble. Do you really want to be responsible for him being in trouble when he was nice enough to lend you money when he needed it? You know, that the tug at the heartstrings, sympathy, guilt trip kind of a thing. It's not really emotional manipulation, because there are people who believe that any attempt to persuade another human being is some kind of manipulation. It is not, but that's a whole lot. Now I'm arguing with imaginary people. Back to the focus. So I did choose a strategy. I can't even help not choosing a strategy. I can't be neutral. Like, I'm imagining a situation where I have to shake someone down for money. And it's like, if I wanted an intimidation strategy, I might pick it up and say, Mary, listen, Steve asked me to give you a call because you've let this money situation go for too long now. He really needs to be paid back, and he doesn't want to escalate this any further, you know? But he's in a desperate situation, and he's got to know that money is coming. That's gentle intimidation right there. Like, what does escalate mean? Is he going to take me to small claims court over $50? Who knows? Who knows what it is, you know? You know, but it doesn't matter. The point is that that's the strategy. You know, if Steve needing to make rent was a lie, that would have been deception. But deception is not a strategy. Deception is using a strategy that does not align with reality. And man, I am getting complicated now, and I didn't mean to do this. And maybe this is the sort of thing that someone needs to remind me about so that I can do a good whiteboardy lecture on this if this whiteboardy lecture thing takes off. And it's like better ways of handling social interaction. But anyway. So getting back to it, the only tool you have in your bow, the only quiver you have in your arrow, nope, whatever the phrase I'm trying to say is, you're going to play a conversation, there's going to be dice rolls in it, and you're going to use the dice rolls to determine whether they win or lose the conversation. And everything else is about the responses you give and the responses they give. And you have no control over the responses they give, so the only tool you have is making sure that you're giving good enough responses that they can keep the game going. And that's hard, because conversation is an infinite possibility space. There is no set of instructions I can give you to tell you how to come up with, on the fly, the next interesting answer. However, you can help yourself by designing the encounter properly from the get-go. See, you're getting an answer. So the first thing you do is when I'm designing this situation, Mary owes Steve money. I know Steve is going to ask the players to get the money back from Mary. This is a gameplay challenge that I have decided to create, which means I know, or at least I am going to create, whatever it is that is keeping Mary from paying Steve back. Okay, so it's like, so now the question is, why isn't Mary paying Steve back? I could decide Mary does not have the money. Then that's an unsolvable problem. Or at least that's a problem that demands an open-ended creativity challenge, which certainly the players might solve, and it's okay to do that, but understand most players are just going to bounce off of that. They're just not going to have an answer. Like, think of how many solutions do you have to the whole thing? Or it could be a situation where I know right off that, like, it's a trivial amount of money. So I know the players can't succeed. See, now I'm getting complicated. I can't stay simple. I suck at this. I'm going to keep going with my sentence, though, and then I'll circle back to simple. It could be a situation I've created where I know the actual answer is Mary can't possibly pay back the money. There is nothing the players can do to make that happen, because what I really want is to put them in the situation where they feel they need to pay, because obviously they're trying to get something from Steve. You know, they wouldn't have accepted the job from Steve if they didn't need to build a reputation or something. So the real thing is, I actually just want them to pay $50 to Steve with some extra steps and a social interaction in there. That's okay, because ultimately, again, it leads them to the decision, and knowing that the solution is impossible and they'll have to do it themselves. But that does then also open up the possibility that they could come up with the open-ended creativities. In fact, that's what makes the open-ended creativity challenge okay, because I know at the end of the day, it's $50. The players could just give that money over. So it's okay for me to make the challenge impossible. But this is not, okay. Back to simple. So why is Mary not paying back the money? That's the first question you need to resolve. You need to know, what is it that stops Mary from just agreeing? Why doesn't Mary just say, oh, okay, here's the $50. Bring it to Steve. Is she waiting for money to come in from another source? Can this become a string of, like, fetch, like, you know what I mean? Like a string of challenges where there's just this whole, like, you know, breadcrumb trail of who owes who money, who owes who money, who didn't pay for what, who didn't pay for what. And the players can spend the next hour running around town resolving 50 debts so that they can finally get Mary the $50 to pay Steve. Sure, that's an answer. That's fine. That's not necessarily making the interaction interesting, but it's at least making a good gameplay challenge out of it, which, by the way, is, again, the goal. The goal isn't to make the interaction interesting. It's to make a fun gameplay challenge. And the fun gameplay challenge in this case is, you know, there's a whole string of unpaid debts that the players kind of have to topple like dominoes. And along the way, there is a reason why some of the people will not reveal what's going on or whatever, and they have to kind of pry the information out of why this person doesn't have the money, or that you can do all sorts of stuff. But again, that's just kicking the can down the road. How do you make the interaction interesting? Well, first, know why the challenge is happening. What is the obstacle the players can overcome? Then you have to know, how can they overcome it? If you don't know that, the player sure as hell can't figure it out. So you need to come up with an answer to, A, why has Mary not paid the money back yet? B, why does Mary not immediately agree to pay the money right now when the players ask for it? But C, what could allow Mary to pay the money back now if the players say and do the right things? You need to have an answer to all three of those before you even start running this encounter. So why didn't Mary pay back the money? Maybe Mary's bad with money, and maybe everything is tight for Mary, which means she has the $50. She could pay it back, but she is just resistant to, because times are tight and Mary's stressed about money. So she could actually take out the $50 right now. She really, really, really doesn't want to part with it. So when the players ask, she's resistant. And so the players now have to find a ploy to chip away at Mary's resistance. I could pay back the money, but I, you know, whatever. I mean, I'll be really tight, whatever. So then they go with the guilt thing. Well, you know, Steve's in danger of losing his apartment because he can't make rent. Or, you know, Steve needs to buy medicine for his little girl. Or, you know, Steve was talking to me because he's on the HOA and, you know, he was talking about this, and the HOA is starting to wonder if you're trustworthy or not, because, you know, he's just yammering to everybody that you haven't paid back the money, you know, or, you know, something like that, whatever it is. Now your social status is threatened. Now you feel guilty. And that's the sort of thing that gets whittled away at, right? Where you roll a check and maybe the check is decisive and Mary says, oh, well, I don't want the HOA mad at me, so I'll pay right now, and bam, instant success. Or it fails and Mary's like, I don't care what those assholes in the HOA think. I know what my lease agreement says. They can't do anything to me about it. Go tell them to fuck off. Or middle of the road, where Mary is starting to be convinced, but not quite convinced, then the answer is she's nervous, but resists. It's like, I don't really, I don't think Steve would be bad-mouthing me to the HOA. You know, maybe she thinks the players are lying, or, you know, or this will all blow over in a little while. You know, in a month I'll pay him back, and then the HOA won't care. You know, one of those little hedgy things that says, your strategy is working, you're kind of cracking the resistance, keep chipping at it, but you haven't quite gotten there yet, you know? And that's what you're looking at with every response you give, is it a decisive victory? Is it a complete shutdown? Or is it an opening? Is it an opening to do more? Or is it an opening to do more in a different tack? Maybe what you've decided is that the reason Mary isn't paying the money back is because she doesn't trust the players. She thinks the players are just here to steal her money and that it'll never get back to Steve. She thinks the players are scam artists for whatever reason. They're just hypothetical, right? So when the players say Steve really needs the money because he's desperate, you know, he's going to lose rent, that approach isn't going to work because it's not what is stopping Mary to begin with. It's not addressing the challenge. You're not attacking the actual enemy. The enemy is Mary doesn't trust the party. So then what you follow up with is you don't ask for a die roll because you know it can't succeed. But instead, what Mary follows up with is something that says, I don't trust you. It's like, yeah, you say that, but how do I know Steve's actually going to get the money if I give it to you? And now that tells the players that they need to gain Mary's trust. And they might do so by saying, actually, you know, Steve's a good friend of ours. And, you know, we just did some work for him because we rescued his daughter from hobgoblins. Notice, by the way, that I am flipping back and forth between like a medieval fantasy adventure and like suburban drama. Like the peasantry HOA is gossiping about Mary while Steve's daughter is being held prisoner by goblins and he's being shaken down by the local alchemist for medicine money, whatever. But anyway, but now that says, okay, here's an avenue you could try, right? And now the players know they can say something along those lines. And so they make a die roll there. And then you look at the die roll and you say, well, that's not really enough to gain the trust, or that's a complete failure, or whatever. Yeah, whatever. And again, you're just going one response to the next and looking at the dice rolls. That's not the most satisfying answer. That's not the answer that I want to give. What I want to give is the answer that says, look, there is a mechanical system for designing social interaction challenges, and your job as a game master is to translate conversation into the mechanical system, run the mechanical system, and then translate it back into conversation, and then it will all work beautifully because it is super well designed. Unfortunately, you don't have that. Instead, you have run a conversation and use the die rolls to decide how it's going. And that means a lot of the pressure is on you, and a lot of it is just going to come down to you very, very carefully crafting one response after another to accomplish the gameplay purpose and the gameplay needs that you have set out. The more of those needs and purposes you have designed in advance, like defining exactly what the challenge is and what particular obstacles the players have to overcome. And maybe there's two challenges. Maybe it's both that number one, Mary doesn't trust the party. And number two, Mary's iffy about parting with the money because she doesn't feel secure enough in her money yet that losing $50 makes her nervous. Right? So then the players have a twofold thing because the first thing is Mary doesn't trust them. And the second thing is even if she did trust them, she's really reluctant to part with the money. And then they have to do two things. First, they have to gain her trust. And then second, they have to do that or the other way around. And again, because you know that Mary's responses are trying to clue the players into that. Like the phrase, like, how do I know Steve's actually going to get the money? Or, it would really be hard for me to pay him back right now, which is that wishy-washy thing, right? You don't say, I don't have the money right now. You don't give a definite thing. You'd be like, oh, that would be really hard. Do you have the money? I do, but I'm really tight still. And, you know, where it's like that hedgy, wishy-washy thing where they can tell that she has the money and she could pay it back, but she's resisting it. And then they can dig in with the sympathy ploy or the intimidation or the scam or attack her social status. And if you know what's important to Mary, that helps too. Is she the sort of person that lives or dies on social status? Is she the good church lady and the idea that she's actually causing Steve hardship is going to break her heart? So if you just kind of like stick your knife in the sympathy gap and start twisting, she's going to break down. Is she that kind of a person? You know? And that, in brief, is how you make any social interaction interesting. I don't know if anywhere in there was a reasonably good answer to the question or whether it was even worth recording this. But nonetheless, there you go. That's what you've got, George. Meanwhile, I'm going to answer Cycloptic Squirrel's brief met question, which was, were you suggesting a whiteboardy lecture, a whiteboard e-lecture, or a whitebeardy lecture? Which I assume is half joke and half real. And I'm going to reveal this. This is my plan. This is what I want to do. This is my new dream for right now. I was asked to expound for an hour or two on mystery adventures, kind of the way I just did. Because to be honest, I am kind of in my element. I feel comfortable being given a topic and then expounding on it and kind of throwing out a lot of information and then trusting other people to sift through it and actually make use of it. There was a lot of information in what I just said. It was a little all over the place, but I'd like to think that in all of that, there was useful tips and tricks to use, and I'm just talking on a topic. I kind of enjoy doing that. I think it's useful and helpful, and other people seem to like it. I'd like to do more of it. And so I was asked, hey, would I consider doing something like that about mystery adventures? And the answer is absolutely, definitely yes. And I thought about it, and I was going to just hook up a microphone and do it exactly like this. But then I started thinking that it would actually be kind of nice because I ended up, as I was thinking about the mystery adventures, and Proselus helped a lot because he was privy to a conversation I had about mystery adventures that wasn't recorded, and he took a whole bunch of notes and sent them to me. So now I have kind of a bulleted outline, and I found myself thinking, you know, it would be cool if I could actually use a visual aid like a whiteboard and actually write some points or draw a diagram out or whatever if I ever needed it. And then I started realizing I have space and a camera and I could pull this off. And so all of a sudden in my head was this idea for at least once to try out and then maybe once a month, maybe twice a month for the Discords and supporters This is not something that I would necessarily start posting on YouTube or anything like that for everybody. But maybe once a month, maybe twice a month, eventually, if it's easy enough, I could do talks like this for an hour with a whiteboard and a marker and you know, if I ever need it or not, or if I'm just talking. But so that's what I was talking about, is the Angry Lecture series, which so far is just Let's Talk About Mystery Adventures. So if you're listening to this recording right now, or if you're listening live on the Discord and you think that would be a really cool, fun idea, the best thing you can do is encourage the hell out of me to actually do it. So that I know people would really enjoy it, because I don't want to waste time on things people don't actually want. I hate beards. Beards are the worst. I hate facial hair. No, I have no beard, and I never will. I shave 3 times every 2 days to ensure that nothing like a beard will risk defiling my face. I feel very strongly about facial hair. So that's it. That's Angry Unscreened, how to make a social interaction reasonably interesting with the shitty tools you've got. Thank you, George, for the question. Thank you, everybody who is listening to the proofread aloud and then got me talking on this. And if, again, if you want me to do more of this, especially in the form of lectures and fancy streams, please let me know in the comments. It would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.